boss man show, friend of the show, a guy I've known for a long time from my days at Tennessee State. He came all the way up. He's the A&T Aggies head coach over there in Greensboro. It's the one and only Willie Jones on the show. Coach Jones, Will, what's good, brother? How you doing, man?
Boss, we made it, man. We trying to make this thing happen. Always good to join your show, man. It just every time I come on, man, it just reminds me of the days, man, back in the days trying to grind and get to the top.
I hear that, brother. I hear that, man. Those days were fun days, man. And just seeing where you were at now, where I'm at, when I was getting started off selling CDs and hustling at Tennessee State there for the radio show, all these platforms, man. Like, it was a long journey, brother, but it's all worth it, though, man.
Hey, man, you got to go through something to get something, right? And so I'm glad you went through something. I went through something, and, man, we're trying to make it happen.
Let's go back to last year, Coach Jones, man. You got 11 wins in a COVID year. Now, to be having a winning record in a year itself as it was 2020, tell me about your team's perseverance, overcoming having to go through testing every day, just not knowing where they're going to play. How was that for your guys, man?
You know, last year was an extremely tough year. You know, the games that, you know, that we played in the non-conference and in the conference, it was just, man, every day was like, you didn't know what was going to happen. You know, were you going to be shut down today? What was tomorrow going to look like? And we were coming off a year where we thought that, you know, we were going to go to the NCAA tournament, and we wanted to kind of make last year that year to get it done. And I think that, you know, that was our focus on the entire season. And, you know, with us being winning the North Division, the South Division and the MEAC, we were ready and primed to go into the conference tournament and try to get to the NCAA tournament.
No doubt. And I'm asking you this, man, like, for you as a coach, man, and, you know, never knowing where they're going to play, you don't be on, maybe on a bus, maybe out on a shoot around and get a call, say it's off today, worrying about your players. For you, how is it stressful for you and your staff just always be concerned about, are we going to play today? Are we going to practice today? Are we have enough guys to even go out here today? So for you, man, your mental health, man, your staff's mental health, how was it for you guys, man?
You know, it was bigger than winning for me, to be honest with you. We talked about it the first practice. We talked about it with our guys, about being flexible, being ready to pivot, in that we aren't in control. I'm not in control. The AD's not in the control. The chancellor's not in control. Us as human beings, we aren't in control of what's going on. This is a period in time that we're going to just have to be ready to pivot based on how the world, what's going on in the world. And I had our guys understand that. And I don't think we took any of the pauses that we went through in a detrimental sense. We try to keep the positivity, you know, alive. And whenever we got a chance to suit up, to give our best effort. And that's kind of how we rolled, man. So I didn't really let it get into my mental health or our players' mental health, because at the end of the day, there's nothing that we could have done to change anything based on the world that we're living in right now.
And I think, Will, this is what's so funny about you say that, because a lot of times we're taught as young men, and it's for my parents, it, a lot of things is out of control. It's in kind of God's hands. And I think COVID-19, 2020 showed us, hey, we don't control very much in our lives, other than how we approach everyday, attitudes, how we respect people. A lot of it is not out of control. I think for your young men, being young as they are, to get that life lesson early, that, hey, a lot of things we do have in this lifetime, it's out of your control.
Oh, for sure. I mean, being from a small town in South Carolina, with grandma had a big time effect on me. You know, she tell you, man, you know, God's in control. And really early, you know, right after, you know, that, you know, everything got shut down for the NCAA tournament the previous year, and the world stopped. I'm talking about not just the state, the country, but the world stopped. I mean, you got to pay attention to what's going on with that. And I think I just try to calm our guys' nerves and just say, every time you get a chance to get on this court and hoop, you better do it to the best of your ability. Have some fun, because it's not promised tomorrow.
And something you did is very well, man. It's like, I know that you got all the black coaches on a call on Zoom. And tell me about what inspired you to do that and just bring y'all together as one, because I feel like this last cycle, a lot of black coaches got hired. You know, that was the in vogue thing this cycle. You know, I'm glad it happened, but I want it to continue to happen, right? So talk about your idea to get all the black coaches on a Zoom call, bring everybody together as one, to kind of share their knowledge and swap game with each other.
You know, obviously last year, you know, everybody had a lot of time. And, you know, I'm just lucky to have a group of coaches, young head coaches that, you know, we were friends before we were head coaches. And, you know, with that time, we got a chance to really spend some time with each other and try to help each other get better. And one of the things, I mean, while we all had time was, hey, let's get everybody together, you know, during this social injustice. How can we help each other? How can we help our players? How can we just get through this period and try to get better as coaches? And we were able to do that. And it turned out to be an unbelievable year. A lot of coaches got jobs. You know, it was just being a part of that movement that, you know, is trying to help college athletics, you know, realize the value of the African-American coach and help get some more opportunities.
And Will, was also a good last year was this, you know, Texas Southern and Norfolk both won the NCAA tournament. Now, we hate the play-in game all the time, but hey, getting in that play, they both got wins and had good showings as well. So talk about seeing HBCU schools be successful in the tournament, and then yourself going to move to the Big South. At Tennessee State, you know, was an OVC. So now you're in the Big South in a predominantly white conference now, represent A&T. Tell me about those things right there, seeing that those two schools winning that tournament and seeing a good school like yourself going to the Big South to represent HBCU sports, even in that conference now, showing them what A&T is all about in the Aggies.
You know, one thing, you know, getting to the NCAA tournament is the ultimate reward. And to have two teams, you know, compete and win in the first round is huge. It's to be expected, you know, it's to be expected. You put us versus a light conference, and that's what they are. I call it a spade, a light conference. You know, whether it's Sun Belt, Southern Conference, you know, whatever it is, if they're light conferences, one-bit leagues, you should expect to win when you suit up against those teams. And, you know, now, you know, the ultimate goal is for us to have four HBCUs being represented in the NCAA tournament. And that can happen now. You got a Tennessee State in the OVC, you got us in Hampton in the Big South, and you still got the MEAC and the SWAC. And so it should be a day when all four conferences, all four of those schools should be represented in the NCAA tournament as we continue to make this thing a reality for the HBCUs.
And what's good, Coach Jones, this man, that more young men are going to go to HBCU route now. Like, more career maker went to Howard, but no, last year was not a good year for Howard, but he went there. Master Peace in with Tennessee State. So more top recruits, even on football side, are going to SWAC and me at school. So I feel like HBCUs are now in vogue, and young black men and women now see that the value of these schools who care about you, who understand your background, where you come from, and can help foster you, make you better wife, husband, leader in your future as you go through your path at these universities.
Oh, for sure. I mean, A&T had an unbelievable year last year in recruiting. I think we finished 79th in the country with signing Duncan Powell, four-star kid out of Texas, and, you know, along with a couple other freshmen. But recruiting at our universities and awareness at the HBCUs are at an all-time high. You know, and let's be honest with you, you know, kids don't come out of the womb knowing what an HBCU is. It's our job to educate them and tell them that there are opportunities at the HBCU. And I tell people all the time, HBCU has nothing to do with sports, okay? HBCU, these schools gave African Americans an opportunity to go to a place where they can get the same education as some of these predominantly white institutions that we couldn't attend at that time. The sports perspective, we've always been good in sports. African Americans have always been the leaders in sports, no matter where, what playing field we were at, whether we were in the CIAA, the old school SIAC, the old school MEAC, or the old school SWAC. We got Hall of Famers in the NFL. We got people in Canton. We got people in the NBA Hall of Fame. And we've always been good in sports. So in terms of the kids recognizing that they can be successful at the HBCU, we got to continue to educate them. We got to continue to engage them and give them the light and see what they can do on our campus. And I think if we continue to do that, we'll be successful at attracting some of them.
Especially with you moving to the Big South. I know, I hate to say it, but moving to the Big South gives a kid a different perspective. You know, it's not the MEAC or the SWAC. So going to the Big South has to help. Hampton's already there as well, over out from the MEAC conference. So how did you kind of seen, since you've moved to the Big South officially now, recruiting-wise, and how guys respond to you when you get that call from A&T now?
Just like you said, man, it goes all the way back, to my days at Tennessee State. My first opportunity as a college coach was in the OVC, where Tennessee State was the only HBCU at the time in a predominantly white league. And, so I'm used to it, you know what I mean? And I think, working in the Big South for a number of years gives me a perspective of what we need to do to be successful, continue to be successful in that conference. And I think it's an unbelievable opportunity. And like you said, kids like to, perception is reality. And the Big South is definitely an attractive place, and it gets you into different doors. And I'm excited, man, for the future of our program as we transition to a new league and a new opportunity.
And also recruiting Atlanta, man. You got two young freshmen, one from Buford, Marcus Wilson, Jalen Jackson as well from our area. Tell us about coming down here and finding guys outside of the Carolinas, coming down here to Georgia, finding talent as well to bring into your program to foster as you build this thing out the right way.
We're going to recruit the best of the best. Relationships are what drives recruiting. I've just been an unbelievable, career living in almost 5-6 different states and developing those relationships. And we're going to continue to engage the best kids that we can engage and try to make sure that we secure a winning team year in and year out within our program. Atlanta is definitely a hotbed for talent. And year in and year out, we're going to be in those gyms trying to find those guys that fit what we're doing here at A&T.
And you have a veteran roster with a balance of young guys, too. Tell us about that as you made up your roster, man. Want to make sure you have some nice veterans to play well for you, get those tough wins out there, and that non-con you got. But I'll say, young guys, develop your system, get in that development program, get them stronger, get them wiser out there and learning your system even more. So when they ready to play, they can come out and contribute for you right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's always, one thing I want to always do is try to stay old in my roster, stay old through guys, coming up through your program, whether I get them on the back end and they got 3 years or 2 years, or whether, it's a four-year guy like a Cam Langley, who's had an unbelievable career and is back this year for his fifth year with this COVID option. But the bottom line is, we want to have the young kids. I want to build a program, not a team. I'm not interested in building a good team. You know what I mean? I want to build a program so when the freshmen come on campus, that they can be taught by the guys before them. And they come up into that tradition and what we do and they buy in from day one. That's a program. And that's what I'm interested in building. And that's what we, continue to do day in and day out as we continue to add pieces to the puzzle. This year's roster is an example of that. Definitely got two guys that are fifth-year guys. I think we got three guys that are seniors. We got a couple of grad transfers. We got a couple of sophomores that are talented. And the freshmen that we have, our freshman class, I think is the best freshman class in the Big South. And so, we're going to continue to do that and try to build our roster where we have some balance and so we can be good for the long haul.
Now, how good was it this year to have guys actually on campus for a summertime? Last 2020 is like you gotta couldn't do it to how you want to do it. So you miss out on that camaraderie, getting that weight room together, because you don't know doing it on Zoom. I'd say that being with a strength coach, that nutrition and diet is right, because all those things are very important, Will, as you know, man, because a lot of young men don't understand what you put in your body is how what you can put out on that court. If you eat McDonald's every day, you're gonna be one that second half. I know you want to play hard and play like crazy. I know how you coach them up. So you can't do that when playing for you like this. How's it been, man, having them right there watching them? Strength coaches as well, get them that camaraderie in the weight room. They can be close together now. Come October, September, ready to go. Come November, man.
For sure, man. I mean, for me, it's fun. I'm going into my third season, actually. You know what I mean? And this was the first summer that I had with the team. To really talk about what we do, and to put them through our conditioning program and what we believe summer should look like. And so it was unbelievable to have the guys on campus this summer. It's a blessing to be able to do that here at A&T. And we had an unbelievable summer, a lot of team building, a lot in the weight room, a lot of, getting better on the floor, and unbelievable, it gets the guys together early and gives those freshmen a shock right away to kind of let them know, hey man, high school is over. And so, but the Aggies had a good summer, man. We look forward to getting on the floor. You know, we're doing workouts now, but you know, October can't get here any quicker. Once football, put that Thursday night game on ESPN, once that hits, it lets everybody know basketball season is right around the corner.
I hear that, man. And tell me about your non-conference schedule, man. It looks like it's real diverse. You got first game against another Jones, who is Mike Jones now over there at Greensboro, the Spartans. I know he's a good coach, but a good man as well, man. Tell us about having two African-American coaches like you and him in Greensboro right there as well and playing that first game of the season down there for you guys, man.
You know, non-conference schedule, I try to make sure, you know, we schedule a diverse and a good schedule to help us get ready for our league. And, you know, me and Mike, I go back a long time with Mike. You know, Mike's been one of those assistant coaches that I used to look up to, you know, when he was at Georgia. And I found out that Mike was an HBCU guy himself. You know, I've always been like, hey, man, you know, how can I make it, you know, to the other side, you know, and be successful and have a chance to be a head coach at one of these other schools? And, you know, and Mike was a guy that I could talk to. And for 20 years later, for us to be two head coaches at two great institutions in Greensboro and have a chance to play against each other and support each other, you know, the deal is, man, we're gonna be on the opposite end of sidelines that one game on November the 9th. And you know, after November the 9th, we're going to support each other and try to make sure that whatever we can do to help each other's program be successful, we want to do that. And so outside of that, we, you know, we got an opportunity to go back to Stanford, who came and played us in Greensboro last year. So to take the guys to the West Coast will be a good deal. Wake, a local game here against Wake Forest and Steve Forbes, who we have a connection through the junior college that both of us worked at. We got an opportunity to play East Carolina down there in Greenville. You know, those are some of the bigger schools and some great rivalry games with Jacksonville, a school that I used to work with, and Jordan Mincy, who's a first-year head coach down there at Jacksonville. You know, got a chance to play East Tennessee State, who has another, you know, first-year head coach down there, down in Johnson City. And so, you know, we think our schedule is very, you know, it gives us an opportunity to see a lot of different teams, a lot of different levels, and a lot of different styles, which I want to always put in. You know, you want to be ready for your leagues. You're trying to find styles similar to teams in your league to give you a first eye, you know, appearance in terms of getting your guys ready to play.
That's enough for you, Will, is this, man. When you come to the ATL, man, what's your favorite spot to eat here, man, when you come to town?
You know, man, I'm a Papado's guy, man. You know, Papado's lays me. I tell the guy, listen, we got to be done with everything for the day, because once you go up in Papado's and they lay it on you in Papado's, once you get back to the hotel, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah, ain't no more calls, ain't no more recruiting calls. I can't meet with nobody. Once they lay you down in Papado's, it's over, man. So I love Papado's. I love seafood. And, you know, it gets me every time.
I hear that. Well, we're good to talk to you, brother, man. I'm happy for your success, as I usually know, man. I'm happy for you as always, man. We're always cheering for you as well, man. So keep up the great work. Keep the energy popping, man. Get those Aggies going, my brother.
Hey, man, look forward to it. You continue to bless these coaches, man, and I look forward to being back on here during the season at some point.
You sure will, brother. Hey, be safe, man. Talk to you real soon, brother.
Aggie pride.